God's word this morning in the first chapter of the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. And then in verse 14 it says, And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Thanks be unto God for the reading and the hearing of His precious and eternal word. Scriptures, the Holy Bible, starts out a way that we all understand and know. Most of us, if we can't quote many verses, can quote the first verse in the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And you say, well, that's pretty good, isn't it? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So everything that we see, everything that we know about, everything we've heard about or read about, God made it all. But now, let me spark your imagination just a little bit. In the first chapter of the Gospel of John, they're talking about Jesus Christ. This whole section of Scripture is about the Lord Jesus Himself. And it says, all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. So I have to tell you, my friend, what does that add to? If you're doing equations this morning, that adds up to one thing, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the mighty God of glory. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then talking about Jesus, all things were made by Him. And then it really gets emphatic. And without Him was not anything made that was made. So everything that we have, that we know, that we have anything about, came through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, how can that be? How can He be the God that created everything in Genesis 1? How can He be the person that's standing on the earth as a human being? Well, when you explain that, please come and tell me. When you can tell me all the mysteries of God and how God is and who God is and what God is and what God can do and what God cannot do, you tell me about it because I really want to know. I want to listen, but I have to tell you, my friend, I think that God is so much, there's only about 6 inches of space between these 2 ears, and there just is not enough in there to explain the Almighty God. But I have to tell you, you could visit the greatest universities on the earth, you could visit the greatest places of seminaries that teach Bible and all of that, and they will have an explanation, but they cannot really explain the inexplainable God. And so I've come to the conclusion a long time ago that whatever God says about Himself in this Bible, that's what we believe. Whatever's going on, whatever it says. Now you say, but I don't understand it. It don't matter whether I understand it or not, particularly. The wonderful thing is that God has revealed Himself to us through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Jesus came, you have to understand what a mouthful that was for John to have said this. You say, why is that? Well, because he and Jesus were cousins. They grew up together. Mary, the mother of Jesus, and John's mother were sisters. And they grew up as little boys, young men together. John was probably older, I'm sure he was, than Jesus. But they grew up together. They would have been together at family meals when they went to Jerusalem to the Passover and the kids all ran along. You remember you used to go places with your father and mother walking, or maybe you lived in a day and age that they didn't have to walk, but we used to have to walk. And we'd walk sometimes over here to church from the other side of the mountain. Well, I can tell you when we started out walking, in just a little bit, I was way ahead of the others that were walking. Children do that. John and the Lord Jesus grew up in that environment together. Family visits, family trips, family times together. You say, did Jesus run and play like any other child? Yes, he did. Did he have all the attributes of a little boy and a young man growing up? Yes, he did. He was as human could be. And John knew him as that person. John knew him as a human being. And yet he comes out and says, and this had to be divine revelation. This had to be something that he had seen. In fact, as he said, we saw it with our eyes, we heard it with our ears, we handled it with our hands, the word of life. And when you look at this, and he's talking about his cousin, and he says his cousin created everything that was created. And without him, there wasn't anything created that was created. Wow, that's a high opinion of somebody you're kin to. Well, they had to get used to the idea. I'm sure Mary, the Virgin Mother of our Lord, that was not an easy thing for her to think, because she's just going along in life, a young woman. And when I say young woman, I don't mean 25, I mean 15 maybe. And suddenly there's an angel from heaven talking to her, and God begins his work in her life and in her body, and she conceives and bears the Lord Jesus as a virgin mother. What a tremendous thing that was for God to appear in their lives. And John is bearing witness. Now, this is not John the Baptist. This is John the Apostle. And John is bearing witness to the glory of God and to the infinite mercy and wisdom of God coming into this world as a human being. It's how are we going to believe that this man walking around here is the Creator? This man walking down that dusty road from Galilee to Jerusalem, that man is the Creator of the universe. That man is the Creator of everything that exists. All things were made by him, and without him, there was nothing made that was made. Wow, that's remarkable, isn't it? That's tremendous. And that man walking around, his clothes got soiled with the dust of the desert. His feet got covered with the dirt from the walking around. His body got tired and hungry and thirsty and all the things that we go through. And yet, John puts forward that this man was the Creator of everything that there is. And you say, man, I'd like to see some of that creative power. Well, I'm sure they did too. You remember the first miracle that Jesus did? It was at a wedding in Cana of Galilee. And one day, they had this wedding, and they had everything stocked up for the wedding. And when it came down to the time of the wedding, and everybody was having a good time, and everybody was rejoicing with the bride and groom, suddenly hit them that there was no more wine. The drink had disappeared, and there was none there, and they had nothing to do, nothing to drink. Well, how are we going to get something to drink for this wedding? They're not going down to the state ABC store and get it. It don't exist. They're not going over to Kroger's or Food Lion and get some extra drink for the wedding. It don't exist. So how are we going to get it? Well, we have to make it. Well, how long does it take to get to where you can have large firkins of wine sitting around? How long does it take it from right now to whenever? How long would it take you to make a glass of wine? Just one glass of wine. How could you make it? What do you have to have? What's the first ingredient you have to make a glass of wine? Grapes. How do you get grapes? Well, you go to the store and buy them. No, not in those days. How do you get there to be a glass of wine? You plant a vineyard. You plant grapevines, and they grow up. How long does it take a grapevine to grow up to produce enough grapes to take care of a wedding feast like this? How long does it take to produce enough grapes to produce a glass of wine? Listen, my friends, they were standing there not knowing what to do or how to move, and they're wondering where it's going to come from. How are they going to get this? It takes years to produce the grapes necessary to make wine. Then it takes processing the wine. It takes fermenting the wine. It takes putting the wine aside so it will be available to there, and then drawing it out and bringing it there. We're talking about years, folks. And yet here is this man, this cousin of John, this nephew of the Lord of Mary the Virgin. Here they are, kneading the wine, and he says, "Fill the pots with water." And they do. And when they fill the pots with water, then he says, "Draw it out and take it to the head of the feast." And they reach in their glass or what a cup or whatever they had, and they reach down in the wine and they pull it out. And when they pour it out, it is the best wine that they have ever tasted. How did that happen? Because the Creator, Jesus Christ, did an action of creativity. He created from nothing the wine that took years to grow and years to make. Without him, there was not anything made that was made. But he did it. He made in one word. You see, my friend, the voice that the servants heard that said, "Draw out and bear to the governor of the feast," was the same voice that rang out over the universe 6,000 years before that or so. And that voice said, "Let there be light," and there was. It said, "Let there be stars and moons and all of that," and there was. It said, "Let the oceans be gathered together and the mountains come forth. Let there be animal life and plant life, and let there be birds and fishes and all kinds of things." That voice, my friend, was the same voice that commanded the water to be made to wine. My friend, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Creator of the universe. The Lord Jesus Christ was there when? In the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father." My brothers and sisters, I submit to you today that that man walking down the dusty roads of Galilee is the Creator of the universe, and his voice, my friend, can speak life where there is death. His voice can speak there's hope where there is despair. That his voice can speak there's a way to be opened up where there seems to be and appears to be no way. You see, my friend, as Jesus went along, they paid more and more attention to him because there was something about this man. He had power to speak to the waves. He had power to speak to the wind, and they obeyed him. He had power to speak to demons, and they were cast out, and they left. When he spoke, my friend, this Creator God, who cared about his universe and his people so much that he was willing to come and to live and to die with us that we might have eternal life. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. But then you think about it. One day, they were having meeting. And were they ever having good church? The best preacher that had ever been in the world was preaching, sitting on a rock on the hillside. And he was preaching and telling them about all the good things of God. And the people were so hungry that when he would move to another place, they followed him. He finally got in a boat and went around to try to get out away from him so he could get out in the water. And when he did, the crowd would follow him. Oh, we're not talking about 10 or 15 people. We're talking about thousands of people. We're talking about thousands of people came to hear him preach and followed him everywhere he went. And as they followed him, they hoped, as one woman did, reached through and touched the hem of his garment. They hoped that maybe he could hear them calling out and redeem them and change their lives. They were looking for an answer to the problems of their life from this fella. And I'm sure they, in the beginning, did not see him as creator. But that day, when all of the people came and they were all preaching and they were all having this great gospel message service where Jesus was the main preacher of the hour, something happened. Those people were getting weak. They had been traveling all day in the hot sun. Some of them maybe all night the night before. Thousands of them were following the Lord Jesus Christ. And somebody comes up with the idea, we need to send these people back to town because they're starving to death. These people have been traveling and listening and they don't have anything to eat. They don't have anything to drink. We need to get those people to go to town and buy themselves something to eat. Well, Jesus has another idea. His idea is that we'll feed them. And the disciples said, oh, Lord, how on earth could we do that? There's not enough money to buy enough food to go around. How are we ever going to get enough to feed thousands of people? There are thousands of men and that many again of women and children. We don't really know how many people were in that congregation, but there was a bunch of people there. And you know what? Jesus' idea is, let's feed them. Let's don't send them away. Let's don't send them to town to buy something at the supermarket. Let's feed them. And the question is, but Lord, we don't have enough money. Where on earth are we going to get that much food? Do you realize how much food it would take to feed 1,000 people, let alone several thousand people? Do you realize how long it would take to bake enough bread that everybody there could have baked, fresh baked bread? Do you realize how long it would take to fry enough fish that everybody there could have fish and bread for dinner? Oh, man, that's tremendous. And yet Jesus is saying, well, let's feed them. But Lord, we don't have enough money and we don't have enough food. How are we going to feed them? What's the answer to that? What do you have? What do you have? Well, we didn't bring anything because we didn't know he was going to be out here. And all these people didn't know they were going to be out here this long. And so they didn't bring anything. Except, well, there's this one little boy over here and his mom wanted to be sure he was okay that day when he went out to the crowd. So she made him fried him two fishes and made him some barley loaves of bread. And she packed it in whatever they packed lunch in those days. And he carried it with him out there. I don't know how they found him, but they brought him to Jesus and they showed him to Jesus. And you know what he said? He said, that's enough. That'll be plenty. That'll be everything we need. He said, now, wait a minute, Lord. That's all we need. And we got these thousands of people and all we got's two fishes and five loaves of bread. How could we do that? Because the next voice that's about to speak is the same voice that heard the brightness of the morning sun come up the first time. The voice that's about to speak now is the creator of heaven and earth's voice who is speaking down from the glories of heaven and is now in a human being's body. And you know what? He takes the bread and he breaks it. And he gives thanks over it. And he passes it out to the disciples and said, give everybody what they need. And he takes the fish and he blesses them. and he gives them to the disciples, and they distribute it among the people. And up and down, and they set the people down in groups. They set them down over the mountainside in groups. And they go from person to person and group to group. And each place is filled with all the food that they need. Oh, my friend, more than that. Not only are they given all the food they need, they're given more than they need. And when they check it out, they have got 12 baskets full. I don't know how big their baskets were, but if it's that big, I'm impressed. But, you know, if you hand me 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and I keep that and hand you from it that much again, I'm impressed. But let me tell you something about it. I'm bowled over with this. This has to be an act of creation. Jesus, the Creator, is at work. You see, my friends, how do we get a fish? If we're going to have a fish dinner, how do we get it? No, we don't go to the store and buy a box of sardines or to Long John's and buy some fish and more or something like that. My friend, what is involved in getting enough fish to do anybody any good? I'll tell you what's involved. You have to take a ship and you have to go out on the Sea of Galilee. And you have to let down a net into the water, and you have to put the sails up, and when the wind comes, it sweeps through the water, and they draw up all these fishes to the land, and they clean them, and they wash them, and they put them on the fire, and they build a fire, and they cook them. Wow. And yet, here's a man who hands them the fish, and he keeps handing them the fish, and keeps handing them the fish. Where did this fish come from? How did they get so many fish? Where were these fish all along? What happened that this little boy, he probably didn't catch the fish that day. His mama probably had him from the fish they caught the day before or the day before that. They might even been preserved as smoked fish because she was confident they would be good if he took them out to where he was going. How do you get enough meal or flour to make a loaf of bread, a piece of bread? Well, that takes years. You have to plow the ground. You have to sow the seed. You have to wait for it to grow. You have to get the weeds out of it. You have to harvest the grain. You have to take it in and grind it to meal or to flour. And then you have to combine it. Oh, yes, and you had to have a mother started. How many of you know what a mother is? Yeah, there you go, girls. It's what you bake with. It's what has yeast in it that makes it rise. You have to have your yeast. You have to make it rise. You have to make the bread rise. Then you have to have a fire, and you have to put the cakes on the fire, and you have to bake them and get them warm. And finally, you have the loaves and fishes that you need. But you only had 5. And 2, how is it now that we have enough to feed all of these thousands of people and we have enough to be left over, 12 baskets full? My brothers and sisters, it was because the Creator was standing on the shores of Galilee. That man that had walked up and down that road, that man that they had watched grow up in Nazareth, that they had watched go to Jerusalem when he was 12 years old. That man that was related to them as a human being, but that man was the God of heaven who had come down to earth to live among men. Hallelujah. My friend, Jesus, the Creator. Jesus, the Creator, was on the scene. Jesus, the Creator, was speaking to the people. And the voice that commanded the light to come out of darkness, the land to come out of the sea, the animals to take precedence on the earth, and the birds to fly in the air, and the fish to swim in the sea. That voice, my friend, that voice spoke on the Sea of Galilee's banks that day and created new fish. Wow, what a wonderful thing. Thousands, if everybody had 2 fish, Then he created what? 20,000 fish at least. Wow. Can you imagine that? And John is saying this about his cousin Jesus. John is saying everything that's made was made by him, and nothing that was made was not made unless he made it. He made everything. He made, my friend, the water that came, that made him turn it into wine. He was there, my friend, before the grapes were ever planted. He was there before any of that ever happened. He was there when the little fish were caught. My friend, in one moment of speaking, I'm always dumbfounded. This week I've had the opportunity to just sit and ride as Odessa drove and looked at all of the trees, all of the plants, all of the things that were made. We dropped by the ark, and Odessa had never been there, and she went in and looked at all the things that were there. My brothers and sisters, what a great God that comes down and a human man commands with the voice of the Creator, the fish and the loaves and the wine. Hallelujah. You say, oh, I wish I could see that. I wish I could see that. I have. You say, you've seen him turn water into wine? No, I haven't. You say, you've seen him make fish multiply till everybody had enough and it just kept being more and more fish? You've seen him make enough bread till more and more bread was just made and a lot left over? No, I didn't see any of that. But I saw his creative power, because the scripture said, we are a new creation in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. When Jesus speaks to a soul dead, lost and undone without God and on their way to a devil's hell, Jesus speaks to that soul that's lost, and that soul gathers life, and the light shines in the darkness of his life. My friend, I haven't seen him turn the water into wine, but I'll tell you what I have seen. I've seen him turn the paycheck that was aimed for the liquor store. I've seen that check turned around and turned to groceries to go on the table for the Father's family. My friend, I want you to know that Jesus, the Creator, is on the scene today. I want you to know that he can speak, my friend, yes, and multiply fishes and bread and make water make wine out of water. Yes, he can do that. But my friend, I want to tell you, he can also take a hungry soul and feed it. He can also take a lost soul on its way to hell and turn it around and change its life and make it whole. Hallelujah. My brothers and sisters, and I want to tell you something. He hadn't gone out of the creative business yet. David sort of, I guess, got a glimpse of it in Psalm 51, because he had grossly sinned. He had done bad. He said, well, he lusted. Yeah, that was a little bit of it. He had lusted, he had lied, he had cheated, and he had murdered, and he covered it up with his religion and what he was doing. And yet came the day when God, in his mercy, instead of striking David dead, in his mercy sends the prophet Nathan to speak to him. And Nathan comes and speaks to him, and you know the story. He tells the story about a rich man that had a lamb, and how they loved that little lamb, and how the children loved it, and how they cared for it in their house. And the day came that the rich man came and took the lamb away and killed it, and how sad that family was. And David said, tell me who he is, and I'll get him right now. You tell me who it is, I'll send the soldiers to get him. we'll set this thing straight right now. And the prophet Nathan, oh, that we had men of God that could stand up in America like Nathan the prophet and point their finger at the people in Washington and everywhere else that need to have the finger pointed at. And he pointed his finger at him and he said, you are the man. And David was slain. David was slain. He realized that the living God, God could have just zapped him off the earth. But in his mercy, he waited for David. And David repented of his sins. David begged for mercy. And everybody talks about justice. I guess in some ways David got justice. Because the little boy that was born to him in Bathsheba died. He prayed, he cried, he fasted. He did everything, couldn't do anything with it. But he repented. And his song and prayer of repentance is Psalm 51. And you know what he says? He said, create in me a new heart. Whoa, ho. Hallelujah. My friend, he can take a heart black with sin. It's a disaster to sit down with the newspaper in the morning and to open it up. It's a disaster to look at the front page and the headlines, and then you turn over and 5 shootings in Lynchburg and 4 shootings in Roanoke and so many shootings in Bedford County, so many people stabbed, so many people laying by the wayside. I mean, it's just awful, isn't it? And you look at it and it's terrible. But I can tell you something, my friends, that the great God of the universe has not quit saving souls. The great God of the universe has not stopped redeeming lives. And we, like David, can come before God and say, create a new spirit in me, God. Create a new heart in me. Give me a new heart. You see, we don't need reformation. We need salvation. We don't need to be coddled. We need to be brought up to snuff. We need to be brought before God. And the voice that brought the darkness away and the light to come, the voice that created everything, the voice that commanded the water to turn to wine, and the voice that commanded the fish and the loaves to multiply, my friends, that voice is speaking today, and he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My friend, Jesus the Christ, the Holy One of Israel, the great God of the universe, who walked among men, who shared our sorrows, carried our griefs, has consented to create in us a new heart, a new heart. You know, sometimes you see older people, you don't realize what all's happened in their life. If you could look back over their life and see all the things that would happen, you would be amazed at what God has done for them and how he has created for them a new hope and a new life and a new strength. So often I think, when I look at all the people of God, we don't recognize. I remember we went home with one of the saints over at Pulaski years ago, and we were coming by the cook stove, and I don't know why it suddenly hit Sister Alice Wright to make a confession, but she said, Brother Eddie, before the gospel come, and we got saved up at the mountain, said that this is where Jake made his run on the kitchen cook stove, making liquor on the kitchen cook stove. And it blew up one day, and blew up all over the house. You say, that's a terrible thing, people be living like that. Yes, it was. But my friend, isn't it a wonderful thing that if she had not said that day, I would have never known it. You know why I would have never known it? Because somewhere down the road, they had met the Galilean. They had met the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Savior of the world, who created in them a new heart, and they no longer had a desire to make whiskey and liquor on the kitchen cook stove. They no longer had a desire to live that ungodly kind of life, but they had a new life and a new heart within their souls. And it saved them and it redeemed them. Hallelujah. Would anybody be willing to testify and say, I've had a new heart? Amen. Not a transplant. Not a transplant, because a transplant comes out of another sinner. We don't need a transplanted sinner's heart. We need a new heart and a new spirit and a new soul. And He will do it. Praise God. Would you bow your heads and hearts with me? Father God, I thank You. I thank You so much for sending the gospel to us. I thank You so much for those who brought the gospel. And I thank You, Father, that as we listened to the gospel and we heard the voice of Jesus speaking, that a new heart was made within us, that we were able to change, not because we were reformed, but because we were transformed. Father, I pray that You'll speak to us today. Open our hearts and souls to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen.